since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1194. This is your host, Danny Pena, here live from all the way from Los Angeles, California. First of all, everyone, thank you so much for continuing to listen to Gamertag Radio. The podcast is still going strong. Shout out to everybody worldwide that have been supporting us and listening to us and sharing our content and reviewing us. It means a lot to us. So we have a new episode this week, and this one is a very interesting one because I decided to have a Twitter Spaces with my followers to talk about the shutdown of Nintendo 3DS and Wii U that's happening in the future, I believe March of 2023. So because of that, I invited my good friend Kevin Kenson. He is a YouTuber, create great, great content. And the majority of the times he have a lot of content about Nintendo. So I asked him, hey, would like to be on? I would love to get your thoughts about, you know, this happening in the future of Nintendo shutting down the eShop for the 3DS and Wii U. And he was like, hey, I'm down to join. And we did it for like a good, almost like 60 minutes. We talked about it and we had a lot of callers that also had opinions about it. So I want you guys to listen to it. Again, it's Twitter Spaces, so it's going to be different than the usual here. But I think it's a great audio for us to listen. And just, you know, I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about it. So I'm going to play that in a few minutes. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure, guys, to share this content to your friends if you like this. And just let people know through social media, email, text, whatever. Just spread the word about it. It will help us out so much. Also, if you'd like to find us on any podcast app, all you have to do is search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Once you find us, subscribe, follow us. And look, this is only going to take a couple seconds. Please give us a review. Please. It means a lot to me and to the crew. Again, it takes a couple seconds. Just vote. It will help us out because there's going to be people that have never heard of Gamertag Radio. And because of your support of listening and voting for like giving us a review, it will help us to climb the top of the chart. So please continue to do that. It's going to help us out so, so much. Now, if you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, this is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's play the audio here and we'll be right back. Check it out. Live from Twitter Spaces.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Thoughts about this this news from Nintendo, which I'm not surprised about the whole thing at all.
Oh, no, I'm not surprised either. I definitely have some thoughts, though. I got thoughts. Don't worry.
I mean, there's going to be people that that don't know anything about you. You want to present yourself? We'll go from there, man.
Sure. Yeah, so for anyone listening in that doesn't know my work, my name is Kevin Kenson. Most of my content is on YouTube under the same name, Kevin Kenson. I'm super inventive like that. And I've been doing YouTube for a little over a decade now, about half that time full time, mostly focused on just gaming news, hardware, accessories, that kind of stuff. And Nintendo has certainly been a primary focus for me, especially since the launch of the Switch.
Yeah, and you've been posting a lot of great content about the Switch too, man. I think the most recent review you posted on your YouTube channel was Sifu, which is a non-Nintendo content there, but it's pretty good, man. Really enjoyed watching it, man.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I've actually, I'm kind of making a conscious effort this year of, you know, I've kind of quartered myself in a while, for a while, doing mostly hardware accessory side type of stuff, but really why I started doing YouTube in the first place is because of my love of, you know, games themselves. So, you know, they're not going to perform as well for a while, but I'm making an effort this year to really start churning out more real game-focused content alongside the kind of traditional stuff people know me for, you know, just to diversify it a little more.
Yeah, I know this news about Nintendo shutting down the eShop for the older, you know, console and handheld. I know this happened before. I think it was for the DS and also for the original Wii.
Yes.
Do you have the same feeling when you heard that news back in those during that time when that the news came out?
Honestly, no, not as much. Primarily because I just really wasn't thinking about it as hard as I do nowadays. And I think that's actually the case for a lot of people right now. I think with every digital storefront closing, with more and more situations coming up of certain digital games getting delisted, and also seeing the very fast rising prices in some of the retro market, you know, finding old physical copies of games, I think more and more people are starting to really wake up to how important preservation is, as well as trying to keep accessible ways open for some titles. And so every time we get an announcement like this, like with these shops closing, I think more and more people are starting to go like, oh, wait, I don't like this.
Yeah, man. So your thoughts about the news, man. I know still if you purchase a game digitally, you can still re-download it. But starting March 2023, you can't buy these games at all from the devices. That's it. Like the eShop is going to be completely gone. Am I right?
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. So, and in fact, certain forms of buying those games are actually going to be closed earlier as well. For instance, I think it's in August, you can no longer add funds using an eShop card. I think the only method of purchasing that's going to stay in active effect until that March 2023 date is using shared funds from a Switch eShop account. So you can add funds to your eShop through Switch and then start up your 3DS using a linked account and use those funds to buy stuff. And that's games, that's DLC, that is anything you could buy digitally for the 3DS or Wii U.
Now, my question to you, is it worth buying digital games now from Nintendo? I mean, we don't get that from other companies, like, you know, PlayStation and Xbox. And I think Xbox has been great on, you know, purchasing old games and also re-downloading those old games you purchased from way back in the days, right? So is it worth buying digital games from Nintendo? Because most likely we're going to see the same exact thing in the future with the Switch once the new console comes out, you know? So
absolutely.
What you think, Kevin? Like,
yeah, well, first off, I think it's actually a little inaccurate to say that this is a Nintendo-only problem, because we actually had this whole talk, song and dance, last year when Sony talked about taking down the PS3 and Vita shop.
Now, you're right. You're correct. Yeah. You're right. But it changed, though. It completely changed because of the feedback from the fans. Now, here's the thing. If Nintendo fans will start, you know, saying their piece, their feedback about it, I don't see Nintendo changing. I think they're still going to stick with it and just close the eShop and that's that.
I agree. On the same token, though, I'm not sure if, you know, with the Sony situation, I don't know if that's a, you know, indefinite, it's just going to stay up forever. I think we more or less prolonged the situation. And that's what really this whole thing is about, right? It's having more and more open discussions and trying to hold companies accountable with these kind of situations, because a lot of these problems that we're encountering, right, when it comes to how digital games are being preserved and being able to, you know, buy these games and have them available somewhere to purchase, a lot of it comes from the fact that no one really had the foresight going into creating these systems, right? I mean, Xbox retroactively opened up a lot of the back catalog with backwards compatibility, but there are still a lot of titles missing historically from there as well, especially from original Xbox. Because again, back when those games were new, people were worried about that. That's why we have delisted digital games, because they used a song that the licensing rights for expired 8 years later and they just didn't renew the license, so it's missing. And that actually is something Xbox is guilty of as well with things like Forza Horizon 5, or not 5, sorry, 3. Horizon 3, you cannot buy digitally because licenses for some of the music are just gone.
Hey, what about me? I'm still fighting for Xbox to bring back, and Sega to bring back Jet Set Radio Future. That's a great game. You can't find that online at all. Unless you get the physical, maybe. But
yeah,
it's been tough.
Yeah, the problem is legally getting a key or whatever to use, right? Because it's the content can still exist on servers to download, but if you don't have a way to register the product, that even happens with a lot of PC titles where they'll discontinue listing it for purchase. But if you can track down a CD key from however many years ago that hasn't been used, you can still download the game. In fact, that's actually something I've been meaning to do for Alpha Protocol, which was an Obsidian RPG that had the same problem. Licensed music, no longer available for sale.
So my question to you, though, Kevin, what's next for Nintendo fans? Like, what do you think we should do as fans of the company? Should we go out and buy a Wii U and a 3DS and buy all these games digitally now? Not buy it at all? Like, what do you think we should do?
Yeah, I mean, that's the difficult part, right? Is how do you get the message across? Because on the one hand, yeah, I mean, I guess if you really want to panic buy and have access to the games you want, which is, I mean, completely honestly, that's the kind of move I'd probably even make. You know, I'm already thinking about like, well, I already got most of the games I care about, but maybe I should look over the shop one more time just in case. It's tough, right? Because how do you get that message across in terms of either impacting sales? Because as you mentioned earlier, right, I think that Nintendo, more than any of the other kind of major console companies, has the largest reputation of not really reacting to fan feedback. It's not something that's completely unheard of, but it is certainly something that feels much more difficult to surmount than, say, with Xbox or Sony. I think the biggest thing, right, is keeping the conversation going and making this interest in general thing known. Because that is the thing with Nintendo, right, is I actually talked about this in a video last year, because I was talking about how important I think the 3DS is and how difficult it's going to be to properly preserve that system, especially once the eShop closes down. Had no idea at the time it was going to be this soon. Just this kind of general idea of, I feel like more than other companies, Nintendo right now really treats their catalog of games almost kind of like how Disney was with the Disney Vault, right? There's not really an option to just, here's this title and we're making it available all year round. It's like they keep finding new ways of making it available for a period of time, right? We're going to put it on this eShop as part of Virtual Console, but eventually we're not going to use that same Virtual Console system on later consoles. So if you bought, say, an SNES game on your 3DS, that doesn't really translate over to the Switch. Now we're going to put games on this Nintendo Switch Online experience as part of an active membership, and there's no way to actually own the individual titles if you only care about one or two of them. And even then, as far as we know right now, when that service ends, it ends. You know, we don't know if there's any kind of long-term plan for making those catalogs still available once they close the service down. So it's frustrating, man. I guess that's my main thought right now.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo overall is just it's very, it has like that this old school mentality, and it's very frustrating as a fan too. You know, so yeah, like I don't know what to do in a situation like that. Imagine, you know, having only a 3DS or a Wii U because you don't have the funds to buy the new console, then what? You're stuck, like, you know. So my question to you, do you think there's still a lot of people out there that still have those systems that they're playing it, they're still buying games on eShop, like the eShop, or no?
I think a lot is a relative term in the situation, because, yeah, I absolutely do think there are people who actively still use their older systems. I mean, I'm one of them. You know, I do break out my 3DS every now and then. I have bought DLC for games I own on 3DS because it's something I never got around to playing before. You know, there's definitely people out there. The number is definitely smaller than the number of active Switch users. You know, I can tell you that much. And that's part of the reason why decisions like this happen, right, is from a purely business standpoint. You know, we're not talking about importance of historical preservation. We're not talking about what's the bro move for the consumer. We're just talking about from a pure business side. It doesn't make a lot of sense for them to keep running this shop for an older platform that, sure, there might be a boost in sales right now as people start to panic buy a little bit and want to grab stuff. But ultimately, the money that's bringing in compared to the Switch by itself is very minor, right? And so I understand that call happening. I mean, like you and I both said at the start of this call, this is completely unsurprising, but it's a super important reminder of why we need to talk about this stuff, because it's a cycle that's just going to keep repeating unless it really becomes a major issue that people want to tackle.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. And the good thing is I'm seeing, you know, major media outlets talking about it. I think BBC just posted an article about it and mentioning how the fans are not happy about it. So that's good. That's good to see. Now, for those who are listening, make sure to give us a call. You have any questions, comments, you know, do you agree with this move, disagree? Let us know. So we have the Black Hokage. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Danny? How you doing?
What's up, man? How's everything with you, man?
I'm all right. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm still here at the G4 office. I wanted to let you know that we've talked to you before about hosting Twitter Spaces on the clock. So if you could listen, we can have a meeting about you hosting inappropriate Twitter Spaces on the clock. I'll talk to you later. Okay, Danny?
All right. Thanks a lot, sir.
Over. It's my fault. This was my idea entirely. I roped Danny into this. I was like, hey, look, I need exposure. Can you please set up a Twitter space to host me on it? This was all me.
Oh boy. But thanks, man. All right, so we have another caller here. I'm gonna put in let's see. Hello. Dish? It's connecting. It looks like it's not connecting. Yep.
I keep hearing a little tone, but I'm not seeing anyone actually join.
Yeah, I don't see. Let's put another one here. Let's go with Zach. All right, Zach, you there?
I think we got one this time.
Hey, what's up, guys? This how are you guys through. Doing?
Just connecting, at least.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, man? Where you calling from?
I'm calling from beautiful Whittier, California, my G.
All right. West Coast. All right, man. So your thoughts about this whole announcement from Nintendo shutting down the eShop for the Wii U and 3DS?
It definitely isn't good. I think, and especially too, since we're coming off the amazing Direct that came out, a week ago? That I think a lot of us are still on Cloud 9, but then, hearing this is, a big, wow. That's a very, to me, it's a very much, a Nintendo thing to do. Now, I think my question to both of you is that considering, and you guys have probably already said, I just probably joined maybe a couple minutes ago. Do you think they'll backtrack on this, or do you think how Sony did it, or do you think they'll just continue with it and then by March everything will just be gone?
Oof. In my opinion, I just don't see this changing.
Yeah,
I think
me too.
This is it. I don't see any. Now, the only thing that will make sense. As a fan of the 3DS and the Wii U, what would be cool if maybe have those games available for the Switch that you could repurchase,
yeah, absolutely,
re-download it, right? Something like that. I think that might change the feedback from the fans, but yeah. The chances of that happening, who knows, man?
Yeah,
what do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, first off, as far as whether or not they'll backtrack it, I think we're all kind of on the same mind here. I'm not one to always say, never absolutely 100%. You know, stuff happens. And if Nintendo's anything, it's sometimes unpredictable in both the best and worst ways.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, absolutely. As a bet, if I were a betting man, I would definitely put all my money on they're not going to backtrack it.
Definitely.
And the thing that's especially frustrating about this situation, right, is, with Danny's idea of supporting having those games available for download on the Switch, is that there's not really a great way to translate a lot of these experiences over to other platforms, because how many were designed for this relatively unique design of two
it's
screens
like,
and one of which
is touch.
It's
kind of like the DS games, because when you look at something like Mario 64, it uses the two screens, but then you also but then you have the option. But then to kind of go on Danny's route, you could the Wii U could do things like you could have the two screens together on the Wii U gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you
certainly there's ways. I mean, you could even do a thing right where if they started supporting the idea of using the Switch vertically more, right? You could do a vertical orientation where you do the split screens. And the Switch screen is a touch screen. It's not utilized super
absolutely.
Often, but it has that functionality. So yeah, that option is certainly there. Is that something I see Nintendo actually doing or having interest in right now? Not particularly.
But
in a sort of in a dream scenario where we keep all this stuff alive as long as possible on any platform that can support it, yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And then my last question is this is just for you guys. So, cause I myself, I work at GameStop And you'd be surprised how many people come in asking, hey, do we have 3DS games? You know, maybe in, I think in the past week I've had quite a number of people asking, hey, do you have the Chargers at least? And we're like, and I'm like, no, we don't. But in your guys' opinion, yeah, but in your guys' opinion, what games are going to skyrocket the most, in your opinion? Maybe not like the most obvious games like Pokemon and stuff like that, because we already know that stuff has been skyrocketing for like years. But what do you think will be the most expensive games in the coming future?
Ooh, that's a great question. Besides besides the Nintendo franchise, those games are gonna sell like crazy, like Mario Kart and stuff like that. Mario 3D Land, you know, things like that. I think it's gonna be more of like those hard, smaller games that's available for physical too.
Yeah.
I think those are the ones that it's gonna be tough to find. So people are just gonna go all over online to see if they could find it, in my opinion. So you think the same too?
By the way, I too once worked for the GameStop, and during my years, that was people asking for like DS and PS2 stuff still. So I totally know where you're coming from.
Absolutely.
And as far as like titles that are going to boost, I mean, a lot of it comes down, honestly, to those titles that either have the right balance of interest and people still wanting to track them down for one reason or another, because mm-hmm. they haven't ever been ported or ever remade, or it was some kind of very unique experience, and also, you know, how many copies were actually produced. There's definitely going to be those weird niche releases that only got so many copies put out and sold out immediately, and now it's just finding resellers, and losing a digital option is just going to make that skyrocket even more. Me, I'm a big JRPG guy, and that is a genre that suffers from this a lot. Because it's absolutely not really a genre where new games replace the old ones, right? Just because Final Fantasy 15 came out doesn't mean you don't care about 7, 8, or 9. You know, stuff like Radiant Historia, Dragon Quest 7 and 8 being on the 3DS.
Bravely Default 2. The original.
Yep, Bravely Default.
And Bravely and Second. And Second and Lair, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fortunate to have those games too, but it's like, you know, when you look on it, like, shit, like, it's gonna be hard for people to get them later that just want to get into it.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
And some of them are already more expensive now.
But thanks Zach for calling. We have a couple callers here that are waiting.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Rolling in, man. Absolutely. Thank you for having me, appreciate it.
No problem, man. Anytime. All right, so we have another caller, Ramzam.
Yeah, that's me.
What's up, man? Where you calling from, man?
Well, I'm from the Caribbean, but I'm right now in North Carolina. That's where I've been for the past year or so. I originally was in New York for a while as well.
Nice. What's your thoughts about all this, man?
So I have a very unique perspective because I'm a systems engineer. I set up these type of sites. I've been a website administrator since I was 16, stuff like that. I also like mod consoles and sell them on eBay and stuff like that. So I started off with my Game Boy, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I have to say I'm like very disappointed in like Nintendo, right? I mean, they have a tendency. Kevin kind of mentioned it earlier, like the Disney Vault, just like recycling the same content. If you really think about it, they recycle Nintendo NES games, Super Nintendo games on a regular basis. So I think like shutting down the store is just a way of making the game available on the Switch store and charging you again. Like, if you really think about it, most people have probably paid for the same game two or three times, and we're like not really that old. We're not even like 50, but we've already done it, right? And I would even look at Zelda, right? Zelda was released on the Switch platform. It's a remaster of a old game, and that was released at full price, right? Like a full game, as if, and it wasn't even perfect. It wasn't even like a good port. It was playable, but I mean, there were some of the controls and stuff that we couldn't even really use. You had to keep recentering the screen, as an example, you know. So that's my view of it. I mean, when I bought the Switch, I was kind of disappointed in it, right? I mean, there was a long period of me not playing games because I was in school, so I focused so heavily on school and I couldn't afford a console and stuff like that. And when I finally got money and I bought a Switch, I was like, wait a minute, there's no game chat. You can even see on the control, there's no headphone jack. I mean, and these games are like really good multiplayer games, right? You know, look at Smash Brothers, you look at Mario Kart. These are really good multiplayer games, and they don't have the infrastructure for like multiplayer, really, right? And that just shows, right? Stuff like this, like, oh yeah, we're discussing right now, them shutting down one store. It's because you don't have a unified platform. You don't have, like, you should have a platform where you can, like, purchase stuff for the different consoles, and it should be playable, you know, multi-platform and historically like that. But Nintendo, I think, just profits from not having that in place. And I don't think they have a priority to put it in place either, you know? I know that's a long tangent, but sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. No, and look, I agree with you about those things, right? But here's the thing. No matter what happens with Nintendo doing these, making these moves, people still will buy their products, still will buy their games, and even games digitally through the eShop. Right now, the Switch eShop has been selling games like crazy there. People been buying games there more than the physical one, too. So I think the only way there's a change if we vote with our wallet and not support it. And I think once Nintendo sees that from the fans, I think that's when the company will change their minds about shutting down eShop in the future. You get what I'm saying? So that's I think that's the only solution that we have as fans of Nintendo. What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, hard agree, right? I mean, that's I'm sorry, what was it, Ramson?
Yeah, that's me, Ramson, yeah.
Yeah, like you had mentioned, you know, a large part of this is the lack of any kind of actual planned infrastructure or uniform system of owning stuff. And a large part of where this comes from, right, especially in terms of not having a priority, is that Nintendo doesn't really have direct competition, right? Like when you look at stuff like what Xbox and Sony do, while they have their exclusive titles, there is a very large shared library between the two. And oftentimes, while some people will get both systems, a lot of people only grab one and that's it. And that encourages each one to kind of be like, well, what's the one-up feature I can have? What's the thing that I can offer the opponent doesn't have? How can we make this experience as good as possible for them? Whereas Nintendo kind of just keeps doing whatever they want to do. And sometimes it doesn't work out great, like how the Wii U went over. And sometimes it's fantastic, like how well the Switch has been selling. And they just kind of keep riding those waves, not really needing to conform to other things. That's why the multiplayer situation isn't quite as great as it could be compared to other systems. That's why if we're doing things like the voice messaging app, you have to use a phone separately. It's not built into the system. There's all kinds of decisions where, because there isn't really that direct competitor, they can just kind of do what they want with each system, and it leads to this kind of cycle that Danny was pointing out.
Yeah, so this is what I'll say to you guys. I mean, I know that I might trigger some people when I say this, but way back when with the PS3 and stuff like that, you know, online play was free. And it wasn't as good as the Xbox in terms of the online platform, right? Xbox Online and stuff like that. And over time, PS had to step their game up, right? They had to, first off, start charging to improve the infrastructure, to implement game chat, to implement better features, right? And stability. They had a lot of security issues too, right? People's credit cards getting leaked, stuff like that, right? And eventually they ended up, right? Right now the PlayStation Network platform is running on Azure, right? And I think at some point in the future, that's what Nintendo is going to have to do. Maybe they're the next system that they have or whatever, but at some point, that like excuse of the, I would even say like, I think it was your channel or some that somebody mentioned that Nintendo abuses their customers. Like even to save online games, like to back up your saves online, you need an online subscription, the $20 thing to be able to do that. You have a memory card on board. They don't allow you to do that. You can't save to the memory card. You can't do that, right? You must get the $20 subscription to do it. And that's just what Danny said and what you're saying. They just abuse their customers because we really don't have a choice. There was no alternative, right? But at some point, they're going to have to step it up. You know, I mean, at some point, it's going to get old. For Sony, they had to do that. They had great games. They had a lot of, like, working for them. But they had to bring their stuff to the modern era, right? And that's not only for security, but just overall moving it forward. There's only so much you can do. Right now, I would even say the Switch hits limitations, right? I play Pokemon Sword on there, and the game has a lot of pop-ins and stuff like that. Zelda runs smoothly, but you can see they're hitting limitations with the hardware, right? And you're going to hit even further limitations with the online platform, right? But it's just, you know, maybe with the next system, but it's really frustrating. It's my favorite console, don't get me wrong here, right? I play that more than anything else. But I look at it, and I'm like, there's so much, like, lost potential. And I'm looking at it from the the engineering perspective, the IT perspective, the website perspective, all of that is, I have that. And aside from being a gamer, and I'm like, there's so much lost potential here, you know? Anyway, I don't want to eat up all the time.
It's all good. Ransom, thank you for calling in, man.
No problem. Thank you. Bye.
All right, no problem. All right, we have another caller here. Sol?
Yeah, just call me Sol. I understand the name's a bit of a mouthful.
It's all good. Where are you calling from, man?
I'm calling from Norfolk, Virginia, peace.
All right. Sol, your thoughts about this news from Nintendo?
So I may be the one that says this, and this might not be a popular opinion. While I don't like it, I completely understand why they are doing it. That does not make it good, though.
Yeah.
But my biggest problem is not that the stores are going down necessarily. If a lot of people need to read the entire statement that they put out in regards to this closing, because while you can get things until basically March of next year, there are certain things that they said, certain features that are going away earlier than expected. For example, you will not be able to use a credit card to purchase games on the eShop for the 3DS and Wii U starting in May of this year. You will also not be able to use eShop cards in August of this year. That's the part that I personally am mad about. They're saying that the stores are closing, and instead of just going like, all right, let's keep everything functional up until that day, they're slowly piecemealing and taking away features, especially things that, let's say someone doesn't have the money now, and let's say in December they get the money and they're like, all right, I'm going to buy all these games now. It's going to be a lot harder for them to get those games. Because while you'll be able to maybe get codes from like Amazon and everything and buy them that way, you're not going to be able to do it directly through Nintendo. And what makes you think that maybe these resellers of keys are not going to jack up the prices beforehand?
Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, so just real quick, because we actually did touch on that a little earlier. Now, I don't know, I am not a systems engineer. I don't know on the back end if there is a good reason why they shut down certain specific features in waves. This is more or less the same route they followed with past systems. I will say you're actually not limited to only download codes. You can actually still make purchases by adding funds to a Switch eShop account, which is linked to your 3DS Wii U, and still make direct purchases that way. It's not nearly as convenient as directly using a credit card or eShop card, but there are still ways to do it directly through the system. The logic for why they do it that way in that wave, I don't know. I'm not a fan either, just as a consumer. But there are still those options, at least.
Yes. So the options do exist. But in my opinion is, I'm just like, why are they you're already closing the shop, and there's going to be people who are going to want to just rush out and buy certain things digitally if they can't find it physically. So it's just me as like, I think it at minimum, you could just give the consumer, hey, like, we're going to make it as easy as possible for you to get these things until we close everything down.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess my answer for you, Ridley, I don't have a great answer for why they're shutting stuff off as early as they are in waves like that. I agree. It'd be cool if you just could do all the above options until that March 23rd date. Sadly, that's not how they're doing it.
Okay. And in terms of a question, I'll open the spot for someone else. Do you guys think as much as piracy is looked down upon, and I personally do not pirate games myself, do you believe that this will cause a widespread in pirating of Nintendo's 3DS and Wii U games, specifically the ones that will be very hard to get physically?
That's a great question. It depends too, because with everything that's been going on with, people getting locked up with everything that's going on with them and Nintendo. I think people are going to try, but they're going to think twice before making that move. If they know what's been going on of people getting jail time for hacking or having, you know, ROMs online. So I don't know. You think that's this is going to get worse, Kevin, for Nintendo or no?
I mean, I think it depends on your definition of widespread. Are people going to be pirating? Yeah, sure, probably. It's going to be a thing that happens, especially when the company itself doesn't provide a legitimate way in the market to do it, especially for those games where, you know, like with some retro titles now, you try finding a physical copy to be able to play it, and some of these games can jump up to, you know, $200 easy. So yeah, I think there's going to be people that do it. Whether or not it's going to be something where it's so widespread that it becomes an issue Nintendo needs to address, I don't see it as being some kind of marked increase from how things are currently, personally.
Hey, Saul, but thanks for calling, man. We have another caller here.
No problem. Y'all have a good night.
All right, take care, man.
You too, man.
All right, so we have Drew. Drew, what's up? Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Hey, everyone. Thank you for letting me up here.
No, no problem. No problem. Where are you calling from, Drew?
I'm calling from Western Kentucky.
All right. Shout out to everyone over there, man. So your thoughts about all this? You have questions, feedback?
Just some thoughts. You know, this isn't a surprise. I mean, of course, they're going to shut down a digital storefront that's not actively, you know, on systems that don't actively, aren't actually being sold, right? But I did look up, just before I came up here, the discontinuation of the Wii Shop channel, and I forgot how recent that was. That was back in 2018, ultimately finally shutting down in 2019. And, you know, the Wii launched in 2006. The virtual console was there on day one. And so I am a little surprised that it's this soon, especially for the 3DS. I thought they would keep the 3DS open a little bit longer just with how popular that console was. This just goes to my frustration. I'm a lifelong Nintendo fan. I primarily game on Nintendo consoles. I've often said, you know, gun to my head, if I had to choose one console to play, I would play on Nintendo consoles. But that being said, you know, I'm not fanboy blinded. I am frustrated with how they treat and handle their legacy content. I wish that they would take a serious look at what consumers want. I rarely pirate, and I only pirate if it is not available through legitimate means. And you know, the GameCube, I was talking to someone last night, most of the GameCube games, the GameCube library, haven't been legitimately available for a decade or more. And that's so sad. That's so sad that those games are completely locked away because Nintendo doesn't see or doesn't, you know, work on and put out their legacy content. So, I don't know. Are you guys surprised by the timing, I guess, with, you know, the Wii staying open for as long as it did? Do you feel like we were still a few years away from this?
Well, I'm not surprised. One is we've been seeing a lot of the content that came out from the Wii U also now is being ported for the Switch. And there's been rumors, and Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we might see some type of 3DS games on the Switch. Maybe they'll add it to the online service, right? In the future, because I've been hearing about this like months ago, so I don't know if it was true or not. So maybe that's why the timing was so short compared to the Wii U. I mean, to the original Wii. So those are my thoughts when it comes to that. So maybe they're just making a different business move potentially to help get more people to subscribe to the online service, maybe because now they're going to add more of the library. What you think, Kevin? Same or no?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the concept of them porting certain select 3DS games to the Switch, I haven't really looked into any heavy rumors on that end. But I mean, sure, that sounds like a thing that could be in the works, whether that's part of NSO or, you know, singular releases, maybe. I will agree that while closing the storefront is not surprising, the speed at which it's happening is a little weird. It's a little faster than I think if you were at least looking at past habits. Because even, you know, not only did the Wii close in 2019, the DSi shop closed in 2017. That's not that long ago for how much older the DSi was than the 3DS. So it is a little surprising that it's coming as soon as it is. Happy to at least have the 1 year warning, I guess. I think I lost where I was going with this point. The original question had to do with surprise about this happening, right? And like what they might be doing. The thing that always weirds me out about that kind of concept, and maybe you can just chalk this up to encouraging of panic buying. If you have a better system in mind or an up-to-date system, some kind of alternative lined up, why not have that conversation just a little sooner, right? Like, sure, maybe you're going to get some extra sales out of people freaking out and wanting to buy any 3DS digital title they can. But I feel like most of the discontent that it comes from a lot of these situations isn't that the shop itself specifically is closing, right? It's that your only option is gone. If more of these companies were like, hey, we're getting rid of this shop, but it's because we're adding this thing that's going to offer 90% the same functionality, the reaction overall would be a bit more toned down, right? So, I don't know what to think about the idea of maybe porting 3DS games, because it's just odd to me that if that was in the works, why not talk about it sooner?
No, agreed. Kevin, I was going to ask you this very quick. Do you think there is some of those games from the 3DS and also for the Wii U that their online service is just completely, the service, I mean, is completely shut down? Or no?
Oh, like, are they going to shut down a bunch of online servers once the shop closes?
I'm saying, are there any of those games now that the online service doesn't work at all?
I'm going to be honest with you, not a thing that I've in-depth researched recently. I don't keep up with a lot of multiplayer servers for older systems. I'm mostly a single-player game kind of guy myself. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some specific services that were closed. I'm assuming all of Nintendo's official ones are probably still running, but there might be, I don't know, is Activision still running Call of Duty servers for Wii U? I'm not a thing I've researched.
Which wasn't bad. I played it. I played for the Wii U. It wasn't bad. It was okay. And it had voice chat.
Hey, Danny, yeah. I think to answer your question, like I believe some of the free-to-play stuff on 3DS, like I know Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, like I don't think you can play those games anymore. But other than that, I think everything's still going.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, Drew, thank you for calling, man.
Thank you, guys.
No problem. Take care. All right, we have another caller. BB, you there?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Danny, Kevin, how's it going?
How you doing, man? Where are you calling from?
Calling from Texas.
All right, Texas. All right, BB. Are you happy with this news? Are you frustrated? Are you okay with it? Your thoughts?
Oh, man, it's a lot of mixed emotions. Honestly, not really too happy about it, but you know, like we've been saying, it's just a typical Nintendo move. Not surprised in a way, but also happy for the fact that they gave us at least a 1 year warning, kind of. But you know, with this move, it just makes me think, like, you know, what's Nintendo's move to do this? Are they trying to have more ports come to the Switch, kind of like they did with like Skyward Swords, or how we have now the Live remake coming to the Switch, and how they had like the mini SNES and the mini NES? Is it something that maybe in the future they're planning to do with some of the 3DS games that were popular but not like Nintendo made? Were they planning to do maybe like a mini, you know how we have the mini SNES? Are they trying to maybe in the future have like a system where it's like the 3DS with the classics on it? I just, you know, I'm wondering if that's one of their motivations of making this move, seeing how a port like Skyward Sword sold so well in the Switch. They're realizing, well, if we bring out more ports to the Switch, we might have the same success.
Now, my question to you, BB, do you think if Nintendo releases a new console in the future, right, and with just using your account all those games that you downloaded from the 3DS and Wii U, and also for the Switch, you can still re-download those games. Are you going to be okay during that time with it? Like, okay, you become more happy that that at least you could still download those games from back in those days? Or what?
I mean, I guess in a way, yeah. To be able to replay them, but it just feels like it's they shouldn't just do it to the fans like that. You know, I guess from a business point, it makes sense, but just to treat the fans like that is just very, very, very disappointing. As a, you know, I'm a long time Nintendo fan since '86, so just seeing that they always do stuff like this is kind of disappointing. And you know, even though they do this, they're still going to get my money. So
that's the part I'm confused, because we get mad and we still buy these games every single time, or the consoles, right? So, Kevin, I mean, what is it that we could do then to change Nintendo's mind, man? Because I feel like they're not going to change. They're not going to change at all.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, right? And that's the gaming. Oh, real quick, real too. BB, awesome talking to you, man, just because I know you and I have interacted a few times on Twitter, so appreciate you coming by the spot, or thank space, you. I guess is what we're calling these. But yeah, like, the problem with the situation too, right, is there's this sort of dissonance between Nintendo as developer and Nintendo as console manufacturer / administrator or whatever, right? Because part of the reason why people keep buying their games is because the games individually are great. You know, there are individual titles that people have arguments about, and maybe we'll talk about, oh, well, the graphics on this one aren't great, or this one wasn't as good as whatever. But generally speaking, the games are what are moving systems. And then when it comes to how they run their, you know, the system itself and the UI and the community services and everything else that goes into running a console, that's where these frustrations keep coming up time and time again. In terms of why discontinuing it now, I think at the end of the day, you can honestly look at this mostly as just being what it is. It's an older platform. They're not selling new ones actively. There's probably not as many people making purchases on the Wii U or 3DS eShop. The time from a business standpoint just makes sense. Does that mean that they are also planning to maybe port some titles? Maybe. I don't think that's necessarily the decisive factor, because ultimately, if you're porting a game and remaking it or adding features, people are going to buy it either way, whether or not the 3DS version is still around, right? How many people bought Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition on Switch when you still could have bought the 3DS version? The addition to a current platform is always going to be an interesting sell. I don't think you have to nefariously remove the old version to force people to buy new ports. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I go.
Well, I guess. thank you for calling. We have a couple more callers, and we're almost going to wrap it up close to 7. So, but thanks for calling, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Not a problem.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right. So we have another one, Stars.
Hey there. How are you?
How are you, man? Good, good. Everything's good. We're having a great conversation here about this Nintendo shutting down the eShop. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas.
Oh, another Texas.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So your thoughts about all this, man? Quickly. We have another call.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's really sad. It's really sad. I've been a Nintendo fan since 99 and been playing the 3DS for a long, long time, since day one back in March 2011. That was a long time ago. I think a lot of things I'll miss is the Street Pass and Spot Pass features from the 3DS, because like the DLC for Street Pass was really good to get, and you guys probably should get it now before they close, because that was a great, really great feature that didn't come over to Switch. And then there's the virtual console games, and I looked up an article from Nintendo Life that said there's about 350 plus games are not on the Switch that you can get the 3DS and 3DS and the Wii, which is sad. I hope that increases their Switch virtual console library on that. It's sad. But yeah, some of the games I'll miss from like the Tenpenda Man and some of the Pushmo games on the 3DS, I hope that those come over to the Switch. Like, what indie games or small 3DS games would you guys recommend?
Oh, Kevin probably is a pro on that one. Kevin?
You know, that would be a great thing for me to think about going into this talk tonight, because that's probably a question I'm sure a lot of people would have. indie titles. You know, I'm trying to think, because one of the things that happens with some indie titles is how many of them end up getting cross-platform release because they're not necessarily, you know, tied specifically to Nintendo. Obviously, there's a lot of big hit ones that got re-released multiple times, like Shovel Knight. You know, I don't have a great answer as far as digital-only games worth grabbing right at this moment. That sounds like a great thing I should start researching so I can talk to more people about. But off the top of my head, I'm drawing a blank right now.
I recommend the Dependent Men series. That's only on the 3DS. That was a fun AR game where you could just catch little guys up in the air. Mm-hmm. Use them in battles in the RPG-like game.
Yeah, Kevin, I think you should in the future release a video about that, like top games to download for the Wii U and 3DS, you know, indie games. I think that would be fun.
It's funny you mentioned that, as I have that exact thing written down in a notepad in front of me right now.
I know what's up. I know what's going on. So everyone, make sure to subscribe to Kevin's YouTube channel. There you go. Yeah. Hey, Stars, thank you for calling in, man.
No problem. Thank you.
No problem. Take care.
Thank you, man.
All right, so we have another caller. This will be the last one for the night. Todd.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Everything's good, man. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Savage, Minnesota. I actually saw some friends of my call.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So, Todd, your thoughts about all this, man?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry. I saw my friend Colin Perkins on the call too, so good to see all the cool people here. I just want to give a context that I've been with Nintendo since, you know, 85 in the NES. I think the challenge they're going to have with digital preservation is their systems are just so unique that it's going to be a challenge to bring those games forward versus, say, maybe an Xbox or a PS3 where you have traditional controls. So the question becomes, like, how do they actually preserve those games when they no longer make systems that actually support all those features? They essentially can't depend on other third-party manufacturers to create those systems and create a digital marketplace for them. So, and quite honestly, for Nintendo, they're not going to make that much money, because how many systems can they buy? And, you know, the transferring of digital assets on Wii U and 3DS is not exactly perfect. So it's going to be interesting how they transition that going forward. And Nintendo's kind of showed that they don't actually care that much about preserving their past unless it's on their own terms in regards to a subscription service or something like that. Even on the Wii U, I think you had to pay an extra buck to actually transfer your games from one service to the next. So I understand people are passionate about these games, but I just don't see Nintendo sees a financial incentive to support old systems that they aren't even manufacturing anymore, the cartridges, things like that. And then to bring them forward, they'd have to put resources towards doing so. So I'd expect more ports. And it would be very hard for them to go for a one-for-one swap like Xbox or PS5 could do. So that's just kind of the thought going forward. And I think we're just going to see a lot more ports going forward where they expect to pay $50 to $60 versus $10 or $5 for their games.
So in other words, we're going to lose the battle.
I think so, yeah. I mean, Wiimotes and Mini. I remember I bought a Wii about 2 years ago. Trying to find Wiimotes from third parties were hard to find. They weren't that great. Nintendo's not manufacturing them anymore. 3DS with the dual touch screen, all those different features, the 3D elements that were part of the games. Nobody's making 3D touch screens anymore. So that's the harder part. GBA, DS, it's easier. But when they add more complexity into your innovations, it just seems like that's a road too far for Nintendo to say, yeah, we'll invest in that, or we'll put money towards that, when they rarely put a lot of money into a lot of their biggest franchises like Pokemon. You can see what Pokemon's the biggest franchise in the world, yet it should have the best production values, and it struggles because they just don't see the value in, you know, really putting more into it than they need to to maximize profit. So it's a unique battle for sure.
So Todd, my question to you, and also Kevin, does this mean that the 3DS and also the Wii U are going to be even more expensive in the future because of this move? Because it's going to be a lot harder to find these games digitally. Is only now physical. Is it going to be more expensive now if people plan to buy this like through eBay or other places?
I mean, yeah. So on my end of it, sure. You know, I did a whole video about this last year, how I think one of the things about the 3DS is this exact point, right? Of it's, you can't really perfectly preserve this exact experience on any other system unless Nintendo were to make another clamshell design dual screen with a touchscreen interface, which I don't see happening anytime soon. So yeah, I think a lot of the games, especially the ones that maybe have those more unique experiences and therefore are less likely to get ported or remade or whatever, certainly are going to go up in price and might end up being some of the most expensive unless there's, you know, so many copies of them flooding the market that it balances it out enough. The thing about this too, when we have these conversations, is look, I think at the end of the day, a lot of people understand the complications of the fact that, yeah, they made the system. It's getting older now. We're moving ahead. The reason why we talk about this and advocate it is to really try to figure out if there is any kind of solution, not a perfect solution, just something to move us forward. Because when we talk about the difficulty of preserving these games, right, what is necessarily the goal of preservation? Is it to make sure that it is completely identical to its original form where, yes, people can have a brand new 3DS 20 years from now? Yeah, probably not going to happen. But if we can talk about this stuff enough to where maybe there's more active moves made to keep the software around and make it playable in some way, even if it's something like officially licensed and observed PC emulation, that would be much better than just losing it entirely to time, right? There's things that can be done that aren't perfect solutions, but would be a lot better than nothing at all.
That's a good point, because you think about a lot of the second screen during the 3DS era, it was just for maps and things like that, which is you can go to a pause and go to your second screen. So some of that things is not as, you know, innovative. You can change that. It's interesting though, games that were created around the 3D element, like Mario 3D Land on the 3DS, people love that game, but would losing the 3D element eliminate the value of that game or some of the other games that required the 3D element? Because 3D screens are just not a thing anymore. So that is the challenge. But you know, if it's just a menu screen where you could go to it, that seems an easier way to go after. And I know the Wii U did some cool stuff with DS innovation with the two screens, but that's going to be a challenge, right? Because the Switch doesn't have the capability of doing in the handheld and also using the TV innovation. But maybe that's the next successor for the Switch, which is a handheld that also can interact with the TV, because that would be kind of cool.
A Wii U.
Exactly. Exactly.
There you go.
But you can play beyond your toilet.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Todd, quick question before we wrap it up. How much was it, like, the console when you bought it, the Wii, a couple of days ago?
It was fine. It was hard to find. I had to connect with a couple of my friends, and it was at the, you know, it was the days of the beginning of COVID. I'm like, I want to play Wii Sports again. So that was kind of the impetus. My son wanted to play some games on the Switch, like Galaxy, before that was even available from the 3D collection that came out last year. So it was hard to find those games. They weren't cheap, which is just the funny part about it, because those classics, whatever they call them, what was it, the Select series, $20 for some of the best series. Switch hasn't even done the Select series or the what is it, the Select or the Classic, where they put their best games out for a value price. Switch hasn't even done that yet. But yeah, some of those games are now like $50 and they're hard to find. So that's the problem with physical, is it's a limited supply and it's only going to get worse versus a digital, which is always available. So that's the hard part. I mean, Nintendo's not making money off of physical sales anymore, off these dead consoles. So their impetus should be to make them digitally available where they can sell them forever.
All right. No, but Todd, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you very much. Always a pleasure, Danny. You're awesome. Kevin, love your videos.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, man. All right, Kevin, we're going to wrap it up here, man. Hey, this is a great conversation. Having done spaces with you at all. I think Clubhouse. I think that's the only thing.
A bit of a minute now.
Yeah, it's been a while. But now, Kevin, if you, one more time, promote your YouTube channel so people can sign up and subscribe.
Yeah, if you guys want to see more stuff from me, it's pretty easy. It's just my name that you can see here in the space. So if you look at Kevin Kenson on YouTube, you'll find me pretty quick. Again, I cover a wide variety of stuff. It's all gaming focused. News reactions sometimes, accessory reviews, you know, weird little hacks or things you can do with some systems. I'm starting to do more game focused content off and on too. So look forward to some of that coming in the near future. I'm trying to make it my goal to do a couple videos on Triangle Strategy because I want to yell about that game as much as I can.
Are you planning to do one of the Steam Deck or what?
Planning, yes. Part of the issue is I'm a second wave pre-order. So we're going to see what coverage is like by the time that gets in my hands. yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should like yell at someone at Valve or something over Twitter and just see if there's any way to get a review one. But as of right now, waiting for a second wave. So we'll see what that looks like.
I'm in the same boat. Same boat. So we'll see. All right, everyone. Thank you. First of all, thank you to Kevin for joining, and everyone, thank you for listening. It was a lot of fun. Great conversation. And I'll be back next week, or even this week, and probably have another spaces, another topic. We'll see. And yeah, until next time, everyone, take care. Bye.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening to episode 1194, all about Nintendo shutting down the 3DS and Wii U eShop. Shout out to Kevin Kenson for joining me. It was a lot of fun. Everybody that's been calling in and listening to the Twitter spaces, that was so much fun. Hopefully I could do that again. And if you would like to be part of my Twitter spaces, make sure to follow me, Godfrey, G-O-D-F-R-E-E, or go to the description of this episode. I'm going to have a link there to my social media, so just follow me. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, guys. Thank you so much for listening and, again, supporting GTR. Make sure to join on Discord. We're there. Still been people hitting us up there and very interactive, you know, with everybody that's been supporting us at GTR there on Discord. So, yo, just join us. Super easy. Discord.gg/GTR. That's Discord.gg/GTR. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, please, guys, send us questions. We like to use that for our future episodes of GTR. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to be out, everyone. Until next time, we'll be back next week with more content here at Gamer Tag Radio. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.